Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. It's Monday. Monday, November the 5th, 2012. November the 5th, 2012. My, what an exciting time we are living in today. And I rejoice today in the goodness of God and how that God has watched over us, how he's protected us, how he's kept us here in this nefarious hour into which we are presently living in. I thank God for his blessings today. I thank him for all that he's done for us and what he's going to continue to do for us in the very near future. This morning when I got up, the Lord had laid a particular passage or passages of Scripture on my heart. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What a beautiful Scripture. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 10, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content. So those three verses today spoke volumes to my heart, knowing that tomorrow, November the 6th, could very well be a day of madness and a day of insanity. We'll be talking about that in the next few moments, but I want to play an old medley of hymns today that I pray will strengthen your heart and will encourage you profusely here in this hour. Amen. God, one day there will be absolute victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many people don't believe that, but I've got certitude, I've got confidence today that God is going to touch his people. God is going to minister to us, and he's going to help us here in this nefarious hour in which we are living in. Again, I pray today that the Word of God will find residence in your heart, in your life, will edify, will strengthen you profusely. Amen. I'm excited about the great things that God is doing here in this hour. Amen. Because I am a part of what God is doing, and so are you. You are a part of what God is doing here in this hour. Amen. As I said this morning, as I was getting ready to go to my office to pray, and I was in there brushing my teeth, and I was just meditating on the Lord, these three scriptures pervaded my mind profusely. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Then verse 10, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. One fellow said you need to be content because you live under one or two tents, a tent of contentment or a tent of discontentment. I want to live in the tent of contentment, amen, through Jesus Christ my Lord. I want to go today to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is the chapter in the book of Deuteronomy relative to blessings for obedience and punishment for disobedience. The book of Deuteronomy is often described as the book of obedience because every time the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy in Matthew chapter 4 when he challenged Christ, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Then he took him up to a hiding sea mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself off, and his angels will deliver thee. But every time that Satan tempted Christ, Christ quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, being the book of obedience. But I want to go today to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to share with you chapter 28. Verses 27 through 29. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with boils of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I want to read verses 29 and 28. 28 and 29 one more time. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I want to speak to you today on madness and insanity. Madness and insanity. Madness. The word madness there in the Hebrew literally means craziness. Totally confused. No way out. As we watched this hybrid storm, Sandy, as it smote the mid-Atlantic and the northern Atlantic states, we witnessed madness from our leadership. What do you mean, Pastor? New York was going to have their marathon. They were adamant to continue to go on with that marathon through Mayor Bloomberg. And yet people were physically, literally dying in the streets. The marathon had been provided with pallets of water, food, generators, and cases upon cases of liquor to continue on with their marathon. Now say what you will, but that is the epitome, the personification of madness, craziness. Here people are dying. Here people are torn and tattered profusely. And yet the senility, no, the word is asininity, the craziness, the madness, having a desire to go along as things were pre-planned, shows a lack of any mental stability and capability in our leadership. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul the Apostle gave us a portrait of America in that particular passage of Scripture. He demonstrated the insanity. He demonstrated the madness that would come upon people here in the last days. They are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They are without natural affection. Now, I believe for the most part that phrase applies to sodomy, bestiality, lesbianism, and things of that nature. But without natural affection, I also believe, speaks to love for your neighbor, your brother, your sister. Here we have people dying in the streets who need water, who need food. They don't need the liquor, but they could use the generators, and yet they are not used for the true purposes of humanity. And these are the people who are trying to lead this nation. And then Paul went on to say that they would be false accusers. I've never seen such a time of false accusation against the people of God. You see, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. People may slander you, they may accuse you, they may belittle you, they may demean you, but I've got news for those who speak evil against the redeemed of God. God has need for the redeemed. God has need. God sees value in people who are sold out to Him, who are washed in the blood of the Lamb and sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Amen. God has need of those kind of people. Yet you will continue to be falsely accused. And if you are a good person, you are despised. Despisers of those that are good. You don't have to do anything today but just be a good man or a good woman, and you'll be castigated. They will find every reason in the world to harm, to injure you in some capacity. Why? Just simply because you bear the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The devil loathes and he despises the redeemed, the blood-bought, the church triumphant. Then Paul said they would be traitors. You can't even trust your spouse hardly anymore. You can't trust some of the closest people to you. They will betray you. They will assault you. They will attack you. I'm talking about madness. I'm talking about insanity today. Heady. Heady. Have you ever seen such an hour, such a time of perverse headiness? People are so headstrong. People have no longer a spirit of contrition. They are so egotistical. They are so heady. They are falling forward. It's though they are out of balance and they have no stability. They are so set on their sails and their demagoguery that they just feel like they know it all. And Paul said they are heady and they are high-minded. Does that not speak to the leadership of this nation today? People, do they not think they are absolutely high-minded? That phrase there symbolizes nothing but pride. They are insolent. They are drunk with pride. Their heart is lifted up not only against man, but their heart is lifted up against God. So when Paul said they were high-minded, they are drunk on their own pride. And they are lovers of pleasures more than they are lovers of God. The madness, the insanity of desiring to go on with this marathon in New York demonstrates lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You say, well, you can still do that, not be a lover of God, but wait just a minute. Jesus said you are to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And the second commandment is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wonder if Mayor Bloomberg was going to go without while he's in the mayoral leadership of the city of New York. I wonder if he'll have his liquor, his pasta, his generator, and those things of that nature. You see, that storm, Sandy, and the name Sandy, as I shared with you last week, is Defender of Mankind. You see, God has a way of getting our attention. Now, whether we respond correctly or not is another story. The Bible tells us in Romans 1 and 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Don't tell me how smart you are and then act like a fool. Don't tell me how knowledgeable you are and then act like you are insane or you are a madman. Romans 1:25, Paul said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. What's happening to this nation? What's happening to our leadership? Where are we going? What's going on here? What in the world is taking place in this nation? What's taking place? What's happening to us? What's transpired? Insanity, madness. I mean the personification, the epitome of madness has inundated this nation. And when you become mad, you become insane. The next thing that happens to you is blindness. And that's what the scripture says. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness. He's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. You see, we have become so spiritually blind. The blind are leading the blind, and the goal is the ditch. The blind lead the blind, and then the goal is the ditch. Did you hear me? I've never seen such a time when the church, the so-called church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has absolutely no discernment in the body of Christ anymore. I've never seen so many charlatans. I've never seen so many pretenders. I've never seen so many soothsayers. I've never seen so many con artists. I've never seen such chicanery in all of my life, and yet people don't have any discernment about knowing the truth because they are spiritually blind. It doesn't take me long to listen to someone on the radio or the television and realize whether they have the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Over the weekend, the Lord was dealing with me about the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's why it's important to have the Holy Ghost, because he will lead you into all truth. And then the Holy Ghost broods and anoints the Word of God. Peter said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, which was the Word, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God anoints his Word with the Holy Ghost, and that makes the Word of God come alive and quickening. And here's the problem. Jesus said in John 4:22, ye worship, ye know not what. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice what Christ said. You can only worship God in spirit and in truth. You can only worship God in the Holy Ghost and in the Word of God. There's no other way to worship God. It must be in the Holy Ghost, and it must be in the Word of the Lord. Now, we have a problem today. We have some who have spirit, they have no word. We have those who have some word, and they have no spirit. The point is, they neither one are getting to God in true spirituality, because you can only worship God in spirit and in truth. There's only one kind of true, bona fide, blood-bought preaching, that is preaching and teaching that is under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and they are preaching the Word of Almighty God. And because spiritual blindness has pervaded the church today, I've never seen such chicanery in how so-called Christians fall for every false doctrine that arises out of the pits of hell. Chrislam. Have you ever heard of such mess in your life? Yes, Rick Warren and TBN and all that crowd is embracing Chrislam. That is a false doctrine. I don't have one bit of reservation in telling you it is false doctrine. Well, you shouldn't call names. Well, Paul the Apostle identified Hymenaeus and Philetus, who said the resurrection was already past. You see, false doctrine was already trying to get into the early church and tell people there was no resurrection and there was no second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we ought to let the world know the truth no matter what it cost us. I know that my preaching is not popular. I know people don't like the truth. They get angry when you preach the pure, unadulterated Word of God. But the Word of God is the only thing that will set men free and help people to recognize error when they're falling into sin. Amen. It is the Word of the Lord, period. Oh, I get my criticism too, but I don't let that bother me anymore. I've moved beyond that. Spiritual blindness. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. You reckon Joel Osteen would preach that verse from his pulpit? You suppose he would preach that kind of Bible from his pulpit? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive? How about Ephesians 4 and 18? Having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, and the Greek says because of the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. Jeremiah 23:29. It's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. You see, you got to keep preaching the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Because the word, God said, is like a hammer. It will finally break the rock into pieces. Amen. They won't preach the word. Because the word is offensive. That's right. The word of God is offensive. The word of God will break you. The word of God will crush you. The word of God will diminish every man. God's word is so holy and so hallowed. Yet men today won't preach it. I was reading over the weekend the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. I was reading where Jesus talked about to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I looked at that word harmless. It meant to be pure, without any mixture whatsoever in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And that's what's happened to the church. They've tried to mix sin with the Holy Ghost. And it will not work. Because if you continue to try to mix sin with the Holy Ghost, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to take flight. Jesus said in Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things from his heart. You see, when your heart is evil, that's the only kind of thing you can bring out of your heart is evil. When your heart is good, out of the good treasure of the heart, you will bring forth good things. And I thought, God's word is telling us what you hear them speak, because Jesus said, you either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else you make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. You can't have good and corrupt fruit on the same tree. John 15:5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We're trying to mix sin with the word of God. We're trying to mix sin with the Holy Ghost. But I'm here to tell you today, you're not going to mix it, because the word of God is not going to be polluted. The word of God is holy. The word of God is pure. The word of God is undefiled. And the word of God will stay pure and stay undefiled, because when men begin to pollute God's word, that's when the Holy Ghost will leave that church, that ministry, that preacher, whoever that it might be. The Holy Ghost says, I'm out of here. I am leaving, because my presence will not be here to touch the messenger. Amen. Harmless. Harmless. Jesus said, be harmless as doves. I want you to listen to that. harmless as a dove. Boy, my spirit was overwhelmed over the weekend because I began to think about the Noahic flood. God, when the waters or the flood was over with, what did he send out? He sent out a dove. What happened? When the dove came back the first time because it could find no place to rest the sole of his feet, I felt like the Lord was showing me that was because of judgment and sin. Judgment and sin. The Holy Ghost could not find a place to light. He could not find, or she could not find, the Bible said, a place to put the sole of her feet. So Noah took the dove, symbolizing the Holy Ghost. Listen to me now. I'm giving you revelation today. Where did the dove come back to? The ark, symbolizing God's power, God's place, and God's protection. Why? There was still an element of sin and judgment on the earth, and the dove could not find a place to light. When the Holy Ghost can't find a place to light, he will come back to the Father. He will come back to the ark. He will come back to the temple, the tabernacle of God. He won't stay in that filthy, immoral place. 7 days passed. 7 days passed. What did Noah do? He sent out the dove again. Why? The dove was looking for a place for the sole of her feet. He waited 7 days. He sent forth the dove out of the ark again. And watch this. The dove came into him in the evening. The day was almost done. The day was almost over. I felt like God is telling me the day is almost over. And I'm going to send out my spirit one more time in the evening, in the latter part of the day, getting down towards midnight. But when the dove came into him in the evening, the Bible said, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. But still, the dove couldn't stay fully gone. The dove had to stay a while longer. And the dove stayed yet another 7 days. And he sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. In other words, when the judgment and the sin had abated, then the Holy Ghost, the dove left and didn't come back. Now watch this. When Jesus was baptized in the river of Jordan. Jesus was baptized in the river of Jordan. The Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove and lighted upon him. Why? He was clean. He was holy. He was the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove, and it did abode upon Christ. Jesus says to be harmless as doves, without any mixture of deceit. That's exactly what that means in the Greek. Without any mixture of deceit, without any foreign material, without being constitutionally bad, without any guile, without wrinkles or duplicity. My God, I could preach right there about the leadership of this nation. Duplicity, deception, chicanery, guile, absolute liars. Look you in the face and lie to you and never think twice about it. Madness, blindness. My God, madness and blindness has inundated this nation beyond one's ability to fathom or comprehend. And then next, he said, you'll be smitten with astonishment. Astonishment. That word astonishment in the Hebrew, it means to be stupefied. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. It means you will be stricken down with confusion. I hope I'm not prophesying about tomorrow and the day after. Consternation. confusion, smitten, stricken down. Then he says, thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. That word darkness in the Hebrew speaks of just like it was when the plague of darkness fell upon Egypt. Calamity, distress, wretchedness, gloominess. Is this week going to become a week of madness, of insanity, of darkness, of calamity, of wretchedness? Oh, my friend, how great is the peril? How great is the peril that is right before us? Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What a day may bring forth. My God, my God, what does the next few days and weeks hold for this nation? Madness, insanity. I can hear the verbiage. I cannot believe what's happening. I cannot believe what's taking place. I cannot grasp. I cannot fathom. I cannot handle what's taking place. May very well be the words in the next little while. I'm telling you, my friend, madness and insanity has pervaded the entirety of this nation and its leadership. I am profusely concerned. I walk around with an element of heaviness on me constantly because I'm concerned where we're going and how we're going in the wrong direction, and there doesn't seem to be any desire to get back into the paths of righteousness. I don't mind telling you, you can hate me, you can loathe me, you can despise me, but I don't know how you can say that you are a man or a woman of God and vote for a party that says its platform embraces same-sex marriage, is for abortion, is a God hater. Right here in our local city, Charlotte, they hated God and would not embrace God and would not allow Jerusalem to be called the capital of Israel. God haters. God haters. Haters of God. They hate God. And their next breath comes from God. I know the system is sick. The whole head is sick, Isaiah said. It's rotten. It's a stinking mess. It is an absolute rotten mess. But when you know someone says, I'm for a same-sex marriage, and you say you are a Christian, and you embrace that, you say you've got my loyalty, you've got my support, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Madness. I'm telling you, it is the epitome of madness to witness this stuff. And that's why people can tell me all they want to tell me, oh, I'm a child of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God living in your life, you don't know the truth. There is a great, great need for the Holy Ghost to be made manifest in your personal life and in the church you attend. There needs to be some kind of manifestation of the presence and Spirit of God in your life. It's called fruit of His Spirit. fruit of his spirit. Don't tell me you are a Christian, Mr. President, and say you believe in abortion and you believe in same-sex marriage. Where is the fruit of God's spirit in your life if you are a Christian? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But he said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and to twist the truth of God's holy word. My God, it's plain as black and white. Night and day, as far as the east is from the west and the north from the south. People just somehow are so blind and deceived, and madness and insanity has taken hold of this nation. I keep hearing the numbers, 15-17% approval of the Congress. But how is it every congressman and every senator from their district gets back in there? How does that happen? They vote them right back in because my man's right. If I remember correctly, there are 80-some openly avowed homosexuals running for the Congress this term. 80-some. 80-some openly avowed sodomites. Oh, I can sense the enemy in hell fuming at me right now. I sense it in my spirit. But from the days of John the Baptist even until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. That's why I've asked you to pray. That's why I have asked you to fast these Wednesdays up to this election. I'm believing God is going to honor that remnant of people who fasted and prayed. It don't take much with God. He can take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 5,000 men plus women and children. When God gets in the equation, God can do anything. He can stop men in their tracks. He is the air that we breathe. If he chooses for the involuntary action of the heart to not beat the next time, so be it. And it won't beat. That man has lost his life, or that woman, whoever that it might be. Madness. Madness and insanity has taken such a strong hold in this nation. And I never fail to be amazed at the asininity and how cynical people that are supposed to have good old-fashioned common sense. Common sense. Why is it, since I was a little boy, I'll be 58 years of age February. Ever since I can remember, I've always heard the same verbiage and terminology. Cut taxes, lower the deficit. It's the exact opposite. Never cutting taxes, never lowering the deficit. And those liars, and that's all they are. They are nothing but liars, liars, liars. And Revelation 21 verse 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. They lie to us on a daily basis about everything. And the media, God help them, we're going to do a fact check. Sandy Crowley lied on national television when she embraced Obama's lie. She reinforced his lie. I'm at a loss of words. I'm at a loss of words to describe the deterioration, the duplicity, the deceit, the deception, when the Holy Ghost is harmless. He said, be harmless as a dove. Be wise as a serpent, but be harmless as a dove. That means to be mixed with no guile or no deceit in any capacity. It's like everybody today has an underlying agenda. There's some kind of chicanery. It's the spirit of Antichrist is what it is. I said it's the spirit of Antichrist. And people don't realize it because they have not the true Christ. They tell me in the banking industry, you can't teach. You can't teach bank tellers all the false money. You can't teach it. But what they do teach them is the real money. So just as soon as the false money, the counterfeit, the deceptive money gets in their hands, they recognize it immediately. Now they've got ink pens, these markers. Just mark the paper. See that mark? That mark delineates either truth or error. That mark delineates either truth or error. I'm going to close with this verse. 1 John 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There are two spirits in this world. There is the spirit of truth. There is the spirit of error. The Greek says the spirit of error is fraudulent, strays from orthodoxy or piety, deceit, to deceive, delusion, error, an imposter or misleader, a deceiver, one who seduces as a tramp. That's right. Get your strong exhaustive concordance out and look at Numbers 4106, 4107, and 4108. That's for the word error in your strong exhaustive concordance. As a tramp, a strumpet, a harlot, to deceive, to lure you into a snare, to lure you into a trap. But John said, we know the spirit of truth. You see, the spirit of truth is none less than Jesus Christ himself. That is the spirit of truth. And anything that does not line up with Christ is false. If it's not lining up with Christ, it's false. The word truth there in the Greek is the unveiled reality lying at the basis of and agreeing with an appearance. In other words, if it's a duck, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, it's a duck. Because its reality, as the Greek says, agrees with the appearance. Now that works both ways. The truth of God will allow you to understand and see that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, the truth is based on the appearance of the reality. I can look at the reality of so-called ministries and ministers and say, of a truth, I know that is error. That is not God. That is not the Holy Ghost. That is not the word of the Lord. And all these imposters, and as the Greek says, tramps. Isn't the Greek very plain? Those people who are espousing the spirit of error, they're called tramps. Can you imagine that's how blatant and in your face God's word is, it says that person is nothing more than a tramp because it's a spirit of error. We are living in a time of error as never before, and that's why madness along with insanity has pervaded this country. And then when somebody has the spiritual intestinal fortitude to stand up and preach the word of God, he or she is hated and castigated because they speak the truth. You see, Jesus said in John 5:43, I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. These self-appointed prophets, these soothsayers, these sorcerers stand in the name of Jesus to seduce. Jesus told us that's how it would be in the end. That's what's even more mind-boggling. Jesus told us in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, this is how it would be in the end. Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're out to deceive you. They're hucksters. Madness, insanity is off the scales. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You better be mindful of these imposters. You better be mindful of these pretenders. You better have the spirit of truth that you can recognize the spirit of error. If not, you'll become a madman and insane yourself. Totally confused. No way out. That's what the Hebrew says about the word madness there in Deuteronomy 28:28. Totally confused. The word is perplexed. The word perplexed means you have a decision to make, and either one of your choices is no good. Neither one of them is any good. That's called a perplexity. That's called a perplexity. You have a choice, and your choices are no good. Is not this nation in a perplexity? Is not this country in a perplexed situation? We're headlong for a third world war. And I do believe after that the Antichrist will arise. I believe there's going to come a third world war first. I've been studying the book of Revelation. This war, whatever brings it to fruition, it will come. And the Bible says over 2 billion people will be killed. I think there was, 10, 15 million died in World War I, 4 or 5 times that World War II, and now this last one. And then they'll say, my God, we could never have war again. And they'll embrace this man of sin. We are headed for more madness and more insanity. Why? Because the word of God said so. Not because David Lankford. Not because of my Bible study or my Bible research. No, no. The word of God says because of your sins, madness, insanity, blindness, astonishment, darkness is going to pervade the earth. See, the light will still be shining, which is Jesus, and that light will draw men to him. That's why we must preach Jesus. That's why we must be the light. We don't light the candle and set it under a bushel. We put it on a hill that men can see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way. No other way. My friend, today men are hiding the light. Hiding the light. They don't want men to see it. They don't want men to see how great the light is. But I'm telling you, the light is great. We must preach Jesus Christ here in this hour. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Where is the light of Jesus Christ in this hour? We need it. We need the light of Christ in our lives. I don't want to be like the salt that's lost its savor and good for nothing, and to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men, to literally be thrown away. But that's what's going to happen to a lot of people here in this hour. The chaff. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. The madness, the insanity will be driven away. But the righteous, those washed in the blood of the Lamb, shall be more than conquerors, more than overcomers through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord God of Abraham bless you. Pray that God will touch this nation tomorrow, and that God will be merciful to this nation. The truth is, he's been so merciful, we do not deserve any more mercy. But I thanked him this morning. His mercies are renewed every day. God bless you. Have a great evening. God willing, I'll be back here tomorrow. We'll bring to you once again an uncompromising message from the Word of Almighty God.
It is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.